Let us pray. God of all mercy, by your power to heal and to forgive, graciously cleanse us all from sin and make us strong. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from Joshua, the 5th chapter. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt, and so that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year." The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 32 responsively. "Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is put away.
Happy are they to whom the Lord imputes no guilt, and in whose spirit there is no guile.
While I held my tongue, my bones withered away because of my groaning all day long.
For your hand was heavy upon me day and night. My waist was dried up as in the heat of summer.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt.
I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. Then you forgave me for the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, all the faithful will make their prayers to you in time of trouble. When the great waters overflow, they shall not reach them.
You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shadows.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye.
You have not left the forest for you, which have no understanding. You will not be visited with a different bridle, or else they will not stay near you.
Great are the tribulations of the wicked, but mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord.
Be glad, your righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy, all who are true of hearts.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, the 5th chapter. "From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was recognizing the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property among them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard the music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come back, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
One of the ways that we read Scripture is to put our story into God's story. Look at our life like a transparent piece of paper, and you look through your own story at the story of God. becoming like a character in the story, so that you can learn what God is teaching us by heart, that you can know it in your being, so that you can really get into the story. So this story that Jesus told, this parable of the prodigal son, or the story of the two sons, or maybe we should call it the story of the compassionate father. This story is one of the Bible's most familiar. Who hasn't acted it out in vacation Bible school, or studied it in Sunday school, or with a Bible study class? It's a very familiar and popular parable, I think, because we can all connect with it so well. I was doing a Bible study a number of years ago. It was a woman's Bible study, and we were reading the Gospel of Luke. And when we came to this passage, I invited the women to answer the question, now, if you were one of these characters, who would you be? Who is most like you, and why? And we were going around the room, and we came to Bonnie, and Bonnie said without hesitation, "I'm the fatted calf." Now everybody laughed, and she said, "No, I'm serious." She said, "I have a husband and 5 sons who are always bringing people home for dinner, unexpected guests, and I have to sacrifice myself to put on their celebrations. I feel like the fatted calf." That was a little unusual response, actually. I was expecting more of somebody to say that they associated more with the son, with one of the sons, or the father, or maybe even one of the onlookers who was just hearing this story but not getting involved in it, the people who were listening to the story as Jesus told it. So who do you most associate with when you hear this story? Which character touches your heart most deeply? Maybe it's the prodigal son, the son who found his way back home. And when I picture this man walking down the road, coming back home, I can't help but see this little dog that I had at one point. It was my roommate's dog. And when I think of this man walking down the road, I think of this little dog, Bridget. She was a poodle mixed with some mangy, unknown breed. She was a beautiful dog, if you had eyes of love. And she was a smart dog, maybe not, but she was not very good at telling you when she needed to go out. But she was very good at telling you that it was too late. We'd be sitting in the living room, and here would come Bridget, her head down, her neck sticking out, sneaking, skulking across the living room floor, and would go and stand by the front door with her head down. And then we knew, get up and find the mess wherever it was in the house. When I think of this young man coming back home to his father, walking down that road, I think of that head down and slow, plodding feet. There is a line in a piece of poetry that says, "Slow are the feet of repentance, quick are God's feet to reconciliation, to embrace." Think of this poor young prodigal son, this poor man. You know, he asks his father for his inheritance, and then he takes the money and leaves the country. In that culture, there was no legal way for a person to get their inheritance before their parents had died. So in effect, when this boy comes to his father and says, "I want my inheritance," what he's really saying is, "I wish you were dead." Think of how that hurt that father, how that cut to the quick when he says to his father, "I want my inheritance now. I can't wait for you to die. I want my money now." And the father does the unthinkable. He divides his property and gives him the money. And he takes his money and leaves. What a pain he caused in the heart of that father. He threw away his inheritance. He spent his money on riotous living. He He was spending his money so fast that he didn't even realize that he had a cash flow problem until it was too late. All his money was gone. And when his money was gone, he realized, not only is my money gone, but here I am living in a country that's in a Great Depression. No one has any money. Everyone is hungry. There was a famine in the land. And he has to find a job to eat, at least something that he can eat once in a while. This pampered rich boy would have to take a job. Now, think of the very worst job that you would never want to have. What would the worst job be that you would never want to have that be your livelihood? For a Jewish person, that would be tending pigs, somebody else's pigs, taking care of someone else's pigs. And that's what this young man ends up doing, throwing slop and food to someone else's swine. He was so hungry that he was envious of the food that the pigs were getting to eat. Scripture tells us that the young man came to himself. He came to his senses. What am I doing? Why am I sitting here starving to death when I know for sure that my father has servants and slaves who have bread enough and more? I know what I'll do. I'll get up and go back home. Boy, is this going to be hard. It's going to be hard to admit my mistake. But I've got to do it. I'm starved. I'm dying here. I've got to go home. He returns, gets up, returns home, and asks for mercy. He realizes the damage that he has done to himself, to his family, and especially to his father. And he realizes that he's hungry. He needs to eat. Picture this man coming down the road, walking home, looking and not looking at that house at the end of the road, not sure what he's going to expect there, not sure what he's going to find. And he's practicing his speech over and over again. Father, I have sinned against you and against God. I can't be your son anymore. Treat me like a slave, and I'll eat whatever they eat. He's afraid. I think that this sort of fear may be an experience that a good many of us have had. We're not sure that our behavior hasn't disqualified us from the love of someone else. That we've done something so wrong that we're afraid to admit it. We'd rather tend the pigs than to admit that we've made some wrong choices. Or maybe we try to cover up our mistakes or blame somebody else. Or we get so busy with life and with other things that we're able to forget our sins and not have to think about it. We hide from God. We hide from other people who we expect would have a proper rage against our sin. Maybe you can relate your life to this younger son who knows he's done something wrong and he feels that he needs to do something about it. He's afraid, but somehow he finds the courage to admit his sin and begin again. Or maybe you find yourself more in the elder brother. This older son has worked hard to keep the family together, and he was left with all of the work and all of the responsibility when that loser of a brother took off. And it wasn't easy for him. It wasn't easy dealing with his dad, who spent most of his time moping around the house talking about this poor brother and keeping one eye on that road, hoping against hope that he would see his son coming back home. And this brother has to put up with that. And if that brother did come back, that younger boy, if he came back, he'd probably only be asking dad for more money. He wasn't too happy about the thought that this brother might come back home. He was troubled. Now, there's a Jewish story that a scripture scholar tells that in with this parable, tells the story of a hard-working farmer who received a visit from the Lord. And the Lord visits this farmer and says to him, you can have 3 wishes, but there's a condition. When you make one wish, when you make a wish, your neighbor will receive double what you receive. And the man is pleased with his good fortune, and he says, my first wish, I'd like 100 head of cattle. And he is thrilled that immediately he has 100 head of cattle until he realizes that his neighbor has 200, and he's jealous. His second wish is for 100 acres of land, and he's very happy when he realizes that his land has increased, and now he has 100 acres of land. But his joy doesn't last very long when he sees that his neighbor has 200 acres. His own joy is diminished, lessened, because he can't share the good fortune of his neighbor. For his third wish, he pleads with God, put out one of my eyes. And the story ends, and God wept. Maybe we're like that elder brother, tempted to be jealous of someone else's good fortune, jealous of the reconciliation that the father was giving to the son, unable to share in that joy because he wanted more for himself. Maybe you feel tempted to say that they deserve their fate. Maybe there are people who are undeserving of forgiveness, or at least not until they have made proper repentance. Isn't it just human nature to want to set some conditions? As long as you live under my roof, or maybe we could say, as long as you are a member of my church, human nature is suspicious. What does he want from me now? What's he going to ask for next? Human nature is doubtful. It'll be a long time before I trust him again, if ever. Human nature would keep bringing up the subject for the rest of his life. Yeah, this is my brother. He's the one, you won't believe all the money that he went through and all the pain that he caused our family. Human nature wants it all to be fair and according to my rules. But Jesus isn't talking about human nature. Jesus is talking about God's unconditional love. It's so difficult for the older brother to accept. It's difficult for human beings to grasp this concept of unconditional love that God has for us. Most of us find ordinary loving hard enough. The idea of unconditional love is just mind-boggling. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to even be respectable. Even if we're not good, even if we make stupid mistakes, even if we ruin our lives, even if we grumble at others' good fortune, even if we lose everything we have, even if we're poor or sick or ugly or crazy, God still loves us. How extravagant is that? God still loves us. That's God's love for us. In spite of all that the younger son had done, the compassionate father rejoiced to receive his son back home. But he didn't leave it at that. He wants reconciliation between the two brothers. Do you remember playing hide and seek? What did you holler out at the end of the game when you wanted everybody, if there's still some people hiding and you want everybody to come in? In my neighborhood, we hollered, Ollie, Ollie Olson, all in free. Don's neighborhood, my husband's family, they hollered, come out, wherever you are. I like the concept of all in free. Everybody, come home free. That's what the compassionate father is saying to his sons. Come home, be free. His aim is not just to get that younger son back home again, although that's important. And it's not just to have celebration and joy, rejoicing that he's home, although that's important too. The high point of this story isn't even in the story, because we don't know the rest of the story. We don't know whether that elder son went in. But that's really the high point of the story. God wants that reconciliation. The father says what was dead and past is now alive. There is a future, and that's the point of the story. There is a future, no matter what our past. We have a future. It's most likely true that we see a truth of our own lives in the prodigal son, having sinned and wandered. And it's probably true that we see the elder son in our lives too, jealous or resentful, angry that I've always been good, and you know, they get, those sinners get good treatment too. But today we hear in this story that Jesus tells the call to see in ourselves the compassionate Father as well. That we are called to be like that. St. Paul tells us this truth in that letter to the Corinthians that we heard earlier. The therefore that starts out that passage refers to the death of Jesus on the cross. That's the unconditional love that makes it all new. He makes all things new. We who are believers are invited to share in that newness in a very real and concrete way. Believers who are in Christ, who are reconciled because of the cross, share the ministry of reconciliation. We are to be ambassadors of Christ, to be ambassadors taking the word of reconciliation and love to others. You and I are entrusted with that message of reconciliation. We who have been baptized, who have been washed in the waters of baptism, we who have been nourished by the bread and wine, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are called and sent with that good news of God's reconciliation, of God's unconditional love to others. Jesus told a great story in this parable. We have an image of a father who opened wide his arms to accept back that son who had wandered away. We have an image of the father who puts his arms out around the shoulders of that older son who is being resentful and angry, that father who's pulling the son back into the family. We have an image of the son, the one on the cross, who opened his arms in unconditional love. That unconditional love is extended to you and to me, to all of us. And it's our mission to tell that good news. We are ambassadors to Christ. ambassadors for Christ, to tell that good news of God's unconditional love.